On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who gave their lives in defense of our nation. And in just a couple of weeks, we will also mark the 75th anniversary of D-Day. On June 6th, 1944, 160,000 Allied forces, most of them Americans, crossed the English Channel and landed on the beaches of Normandy, France, where they fought their way onshore against the fortified German positions. 4,414 Allied troops died that day. Another 6,000 or more were wounded. And over the next month, more than a million Allied troops landed at Normandy, and they began pushing the Nazis out of France and across Europe until finally Hitler was defeated along with his Nazi army. So we remember the sacrifice and the heroism of those men, some, of course, who died, many of whom were wounded, all of whom who suffered for the sake of defeating the forces of oppression and hate and evil. D-Day was the turning point of World War II. That invasion brought about a change of the tide. It turned the war from what looked like defeat into what became victory. And there are moments like that in war, moments like that in global conflict, times when the page of history gets turned, gets changed, acts of valor and sacrifice that cause the light of hope to begin shining anew. In smaller and more personal ways, there are also moments like that in the course of our lives. Decisions or events that mark off a new beginning, a swing of momentum that changes our lives from loss and hurt and brokenness toward hope and light and healing. Those moments when things change and our lives won't be the same again. We all deal with spiritual and personal struggles. And the issues that you deal with might be different than mine, but all of us here deal with challenges in our lives. And it's also true that we can experience, all of us can experience transformation because of God's grace in our lives. Grace brings deep and lasting change. God's grace, when it shows up in our lives, brings that turning of the tide. It brings a change in our lives, and things will never be the same again because of God's grace. Grace alters the flow of our lives. It sets us on a new and better path. You might be able to look back and see how God led you through some dark and difficult valley to a place of peace. Or maybe right now, maybe today, you are struggling to overcome some great challenge that you're facing. And you need God to show up right now and bring you a hope for a better tomorrow. Or maybe for you that moment is still coming down the road. A time when God's grace will break in just when you need it. And His grace will change the direction of your life. Whenever we encounter God's grace, it changes us. From struggle to strength, from lost in the dark to set on the path of light and goodness again, from worry and fear to hope and peace. And so we're going to think about God's grace today and how it shows up at just the right time and how God's grace changes our lives. We're going to read from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As we read through Romans, like all of Scripture, grace is interwoven throughout. Grace is the heartbeat of God. Grace is the central theme of God's Word. But grace is not just a nice word that we read about in the Bible. Grace is how we experience God. It's how we know Him and how we find His love in our lives. You see, every time God's grace breaks into our lives, it's like a little D-Day invasion that turns the tide, that alters the course of our history, that pushes back against the forces of evil that we so often encounter. Maybe we don't name them or recognize them all the way, but we know there are forces at work against us in our lives, and yet God's grace shows up to push back against those forces of evil and to turn the tide of our lives. When we recognize God's grace at work, we can be sure that our lives are about to change for the better. This passage ends with an amazing statement. It's really the biblical definition of grace. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Leading up to that verse, there are these glimmers of hope that point the way for us. For all the challenges and hurts and struggles that we face, God brings us hope. And so I want us to see today these glimmers of hope as we look through this passage, these ways that God breaks into our lives by His grace. And we start with the first two verses of Romans chapter 5 that tell us that by grace, broken people can stand in God's glory. Broken people can stand in God's glory. Listen again to what it says in verses 1 and 2. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace. Did you know you can have peace with God? Despite what you may be facing today, despite the challenges or disappointments or burdens of your life, you can have peace with God. Even more than that, you can gain access to God's grace. You've been granted this open door, this key that unlocks the grace of God that will change you forever. God has given you that as a gift. So I wonder today, as you think about your life, what are the broken places? The disappointments, maybe even the resentments that you carry, things that didn't go your way and you've been holding on to those and wishing they had been different and maybe blaming yourself or blaming someone else or maybe even blaming God for how things have turned out. And it's okay to be honest with Him. Things you've been waiting for, and you're still waiting. Ways that you've been hurt. We all have those broken parts of our lives somewhere, somehow. Our lives are like pieces of pottery with cracks running through them. And maybe you look at your life and the cracks that you see are just little and small, and you can kind of ignore them most of the time, but then maybe there are some cracks that run through your life that are big gaping cuts. And those hurts that, again, maybe you try to ignore, but every time you turn that piece of pottery that is your heart, you see them again and you know that there is that brokenness, those broken relationships or broken promises or broken dreams or broken budgets or broken expectations of what you thought your life would be. And God, when He looks at you, God does not see those cracks in your life and say, oh, let's just throw it all out. Let's just start over with somebody better. Now, God looks at you, sees you just as you are, all the brokenness, all the cracks, all the frailties, and God offers you healing. And He offers you restoration. And in His grace, He draws you near to Himself. He gives you that access. He opens the door so that you can come near right into His glorious and holy presence, where you may think, I shouldn't be welcome here, I shouldn't belong here, because in our humanness, our brokenness, in our sinfulness, we don't belong there, and yet God welcomes us. And He says, I'm going to give you access. I'm going to allow you to stand in My glorious presence so that God can help you, so that God can make you whole again. God invites us into His grace, as it says, in which we now stand. It's the promise of our faith that we can stand before God, that we're welcome in His presence. Now, in some ways, that may sound like the promise of heaven, that one day we will enter into God's glory, we'll be with God, perfected by His great gift of grace, and we'll be in heaven with Him forever and no longer carry the burdens of this life or any of that brokenness. All that will be healed. And yeah, in some ways it is that great promise of eternity. But there is also hope that we have right now. There's also hope that God gives us for the hurts and struggles of today. And so by grace, those who suffer can find hope. Those who suffer can find hope. Paul writes these words in verses 3 and 4. We know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. I don't know anyone who's ever gone through life without having to suffer. Now, on the other hand, I don't know anyone who suffers who's happy about suffering. And that's not what Paul is saying here, that we should rejoice because of our suffering. He isn't saying that we should be pleased because of the difficulties of our lives, but he is saying that God can bring out of our suffering something good, something redemptive. In some ways, some small ways, the discomforts of this life in a broken world are just a part of how we live. Some of us deal with the deeper and darker trials of this life. We all deal with those things, whether it's illness or disease or disability or financial stress or pain caused by the people that we love. And we know that's the reality of how we live, and yet God is offering us redemption. He's offering to bring something good and better out of that suffering. Paul wrote these words after having suffered, in the midst of suffering a great deal, as he lived a life of faith in Jesus Christ. Paul was beaten and imprisoned. Paul was abandoned by his friends. He was eventually executed for his faith, and yet he knew that suffering could lead to perseverance and character and hope, and that doesn't just happen. It's not sort of the natural common way of life. And again, it's not that Paul is saying you should be grateful when you suffer because something good is just going to sort of magically or automatically come out of that. No, what Paul means by this is when we trust in God, when we place our faith in Him, that God can bring something better in our lives. The Bible does not teach what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I know people like to quote that, and maybe you think it's from the Bible. It's not. In fact, it was written by a man who opposed the work of God. A man who held a philosophy that we know today as humanism, even its extreme form of nihilism, that says there is nothing good in this world, and so you may as well just take all that you can and leave the people that you hurt in your wake. In fact, it was that sort of thinking that inspired Hitler. and the Nazis. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That is not biblical truth. The biblical truth is that God shows up in the midst of our suffering. And He pours over us grace and love and compassion. And that might come to us through our friends or our church family or through the comforting words of Scripture. It might be the unmistakable movement of God's Holy Spirit in our hearts. But God lifts us up in those moments. And He gives us His strength to persevere and to carry on. And we find as we trust in Him and His grace that we can endure. We find that we are stronger, we are tougher than we thought that we were. Not because we are strong, but because God, who is at work in our lives, is infinitely stronger than anything that we face. And so when we suffer, we find in God that strength to persevere. And as we persevere, we find building up in our hearts a new character of faith. And as that character of faith grows, we have hope, which doesn't mean that our suffering goes away. But it means that through the suffering, we believe that God will bring something better. We believe that God can redeem us. And so we learn to trust in God's power and His love. And we find a hope for a better future, hope that will bring joy after a long night of sorrow. God's grace breaks into our lives at just the right time. And I hope that you've experienced that. I hope you can look back in your life and see those moments when God's grace did turn the page of your life from darkness and sorrow to hope and joy. But again, maybe you're in that moment now, right now, when you need that grace to be poured out on you. And you're waiting for it to show up. And so there's another word of hope for us here. Because you see, Jesus came into the world to offer us grace at just the right time. Verse 6, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." And that's a statement about the historical moment in which Jesus entered the world. But it's also a statement about the spiritual moment of our own lives. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, which is really every moment of every day of our lives. That we need God. That we are powerless and lost without His grace. And that is when Jesus Christ shows up. And so we find this piece of good news, that by grace, sinners like us can be set free. Sinners like us can be set free. God's love is not some sappy feeling in His heart for you. God doesn't write His love like a cheap poem on a greeting card. No, God's love has action behind it. It says that God demonstrates His love. He puts it to work. God's love shows up in our lives and it changes things. It makes a difference in our lives. It changes who we are and how we live. God's love is made visible and real. You may remember the story of Jesus hanging on the cross. And as He was hanging there, as the soldiers lifted Him up, as people stood around mocking Him, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them." He died at the hands of sinners. And as He did, Jesus prayed for their sin in killing Him. He died for the sinners who rejected and put Him to death. And as some were standing there around Jesus' cross watching Him die, they mocked Him in various ways. And one of the things that they said about Jesus is, "Oh, well, He saved others, but He can't save Himself." What they said was oddly and prophetically true. Because you see, for Jesus to save others, including us, He couldn't also save Himself. He had to give His life. He had to die on the cross with our sins poured out over Him so that we wouldn't have to die in that same way. Jesus died on our behalf so that we could be saved. Jesus' death was God's grace put on display, that self-sacrificing love of God for those who didn't deserve it. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is God's grace that is poured out on us at every moment of our lives. There are some passages of Scripture that call us to action. There are some passages of Scripture that challenge us to change how we live or convict us of sin or ask us to repent. And then there are some passages of Scripture like this one that show us something so wonderful about who God is that our response is simply to rejoice and to give thanks for God's grace and His goodness and to feel His amazing love like a warm embrace that will never let us go. And so we'll leave our message and we'll leave this passage simply by saying this, that we stand in God's grace and we are loved more than we deserve. And we find peace and hope in God's glory. And in response to what He's done for us and His great love in our lives and the way that He shows up just at the right time, just when we need Him, we give Him thanks today. And we praise Jesus for the sacrifice that He made for us. So let me invite you to bow your heads and we'll give thanks to Him. Father, we do give You thanks today for sending Jesus into the world at just the right time. Seeing us lost in sin and powerless. Seeing us as rebels and foolish, and going our own way and not the way that You want us to go. And Lord, that was true 2,000 years ago when Jesus came and died for us. And it's still true today that we are sinners and we are powerless without Your love. But Lord, we rejoice today in the grace that You have given us, in the good news that Jesus died for us while we were still sinners, that Your love was offered to us before we could even ask, before we could even think to reach out to You. You loved us, and You invite us to find new life through Jesus Christ. And so we praise You today, and we give thanks. We give thanks for the new life that we have found in Jesus. Lord, we love You and we give You our lives, all that we are and all that we do, in dedication and devotion to the name and the mission of Jesus. We pray this in His name. Amen.